Radio Prague News.
Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg says that a referendum on adopting the euro will call the country's EU pledges into question. Health insurance companies will begin covering cervical cancer vaccinations as of April 1st. And Czech tennis star Petra Kvitová has advanced to the third round of the Australian Open. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg says that a referendum on adopting the euro will call the country's EU pledges into question. The statement was made in response to Wednesday's decision by the Czech cabinet that any accession to the EU's planned fiscal discipline pact should be decided on through a national referendum on entering the eurozone. Mr. Schwarzenberg said that he was categorically opposed to a referendum which would challenge what the country promised in its accession treaty and make the Czech Republic look like it is not a serious partner. He previously said regarding the fiscal discipline pact that he would not participate in a government that would lead the country out of the mainstream of European integration. The Czech Republic has received nearly 2.5 trillion crowns, or $125 billion, in foreign investment since its foundation in 1993. The Czech Statistical Office reports that the wave of investment peaked at around the year 2000. Foreign capital currently has a dominant share in the financial sector and is mostly concentrated in the automobile industry and in refineries. In 2009, foreign-controlled companies in the Czech Republic employed 1.069 million people, or 5.7 times more than in 1995. Health insurance companies will begin covering cervical cancer vaccinations as of April 1st. The vaccinations for girls aged 13 and 14 are expected to prevent 7 to 9 out of 10 cases within as many years. The Czech Republic has one of the highest rates of incidence of cervical cancer in the European Union, with 1,000 cases and 400 deaths a year. Physicians say that until now, most girls who received vaccinations were from families that were wealthy or understood the importance of prevention and covered the 10,000 crown cost of the vaccination. In sports news, the Czech Republic's Petra Kvitová advanced to the third round of the Australian Open on Thursday, beating Spain's Carla Suárez Navarro 6-2, 2-6, 6-4. The match was a close one for the world number 2 and Wimbledon champion, who won the first set but was beat by her Spanish opponent in the second. Suárez Navarro took a 2-0 lead in the decider, but Kvitová regained control and won a close third game. The Czech tennis star will face either Russia's Maria Kirilenko or Canada's Alexandra Wozniak in the third round. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be cloudy and wet, with daytime highs of around 2 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's program. We are the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borivka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government is divided over joining the emerging EU fiscal union. And Czech police have uncovered an appalling case of grave robbing. Later on in the program, we hear about a very stinky cheese, Olomoucké tvarůžky, in this week's panorama. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The question whether or not the country should join the emerging EU fiscal union has divided Czech politicians and appears to be fraught with problems. While one governing party is in favor of an emphatic yes, and the country's Eurosceptic president has already voiced an emphatic no, everything points to the fact that Czechs will continue to sit on the fence for as long as possible. Daniela Lazarová has more.
An attempt to formulate an official Czech stand on whether the country should join the emerging EU fiscal union has fully revealed the depth of controversy on the issue. While the ruling Civic Democrats and Public Affairs would prefer to see the matter decided in a national referendum, the third party in government, Top 09, accuses them of refusing to accept political responsibility for a decision that is too complex for the electorate and should rightly be made by Parliament. Following Wednesday's vote, in which the government provisionally endorsed a national referendum on the issue, Vít Bárta of Public Affairs explained why the Junior Coalition Party had thrown its weight behind the Civic Democrats in favour of a referendum.
Joining the fiscal union would mean ceding more powers to Brussels and would significantly reduce citizens' rights in consequence. If the country is to set out on this road, it is only right and fair that the decision should be made by the people.
The ruling Top 09, which opposed the move, has accused its coalition partners of harming the country's interests abroad. The party's deputy leader, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, says the Czech Republic would have no problem adhering to the rules of the EU fiscal union, since its fiscal discipline is already more stringent than that currently outlined in the treaty, and that endorsing the agreement would show the Czech Republic to be a reliable partner.
The Czech Republic is a member of the European Union, and as such it has partners in the alliance. It is in our best interests for our foreign policy to be transparent, for our partners in the EU to know which way the Czechs are going to move, whether they will give the fiscal union a clear yes or a clear no.
Although the cabinet has now officially concluded that it wants to leave the decision to the electorate, both Top 09 and the opposition Social Democrats have made it clear they would not support a one-off referendum bill on the fiscal treaty in Parliament. This would leave the Civic Democrats and Public Affairs in the unenviable position of petitioning the communists for support and possibly trying to break the ranks of the other two parties. To make matters worse, the government's hands may be tied by the country's Eurosceptic president and his outright rejection of deeper EU integration. International treaties must be endorsed by the head of state, and Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Wednesday that an analysis of the constitution showed that in order to negotiate signing up to a treaty which would entail relinquishing a degree of national sovereignty to Brussels, the government would need special authorization from the president. The Prime Minister noted that, knowing the president's views, it would be illogical to expect such authorization for the remainder of his term in office, which ends in March of 2013. However, the Prime Minister did not appear greatly put out by this complication. He has repeatedly pointed out that it is premature to debate the country's stance to a fiscal union until the conditions of such a deal have been definitely agreed. And even then, he argues, it would not be pertinent unless the Czech Republic actually joined the Eurozone, a prospect that has become increasingly hazy of late. At a time of growing economic uncertainty, there are many who see considerable advantages in lying low until the storm clears, and with political forces pulling in both directions, it is increasingly likely that the Prime Minister's cautious, middle-of-the-road policy will prevail.
Thank you for the story, Daniela. And now we leave the realm of EU politics for what is the story of a truly appalling case of crime. The Czech police have arrested two men suspected of robbing more than 70 graves in northern Bohemia. The men mainly targeted older unkept tombs in the region in search of gold teeth, medals, and other relics. The investigators were shocked by their cynicism. One of them said he was more interested in the thrill of tomb raiding rather than in the money. Jan Richter has the details.
One of the robbers, who is 48, was arrested on Saturday night at a cemetery in Ústí nad Labem in the north of the country, as he was about to raid yet another tomb. His 38-year-old accomplice, who usually served as the lookout, was detained several hours later. On Wednesday, the police held a special news conference where Detective Martin Helsel described how they came across the series of the appalling grave robberies.
The robbery started in May or June of 2011. That's when we first heard that someone was moving the lids of tombs. By September, the men no longer bothered to close the tombs they robbed, and we found that tin and zinc coffins had been ripped open. Then on Saturday, we arrested the two men right at the cemetery with equipment including face masks, crowbars and other tools, as well as a short folding ladder which they used to descend into the tombs.
After the arrest, the police searched the homes of the robbers and found more horrifying evidence, including human teeth, gold fillings and various relics stolen from the graves, as well as a workshop with equipment used for cleaning the loot. One of the special-made tools was described by the police as a giant tin opener. But the photos released by the police are even more morbid, showing human skulls adorned with plastic eyes and glasses, apparently for the robbers' entertainment. Investigator Roman Kočí said he and his colleagues were appalled by the culprit's attitude.
One of the culprits was very cynical about what they did. He said raiding tombs was like an adrenaline sport and an adventure for him. He wasn't really interested in any financial gains, unlike the other perpetrator, who said that for him money was the major motive.
The police have so far proved that the two men robbed 70 graves, with the damages estimated at some 500,000 crowns. The investigators are now trying to determine whether they were also responsible for the 2010 robbery of a Roman Catholic bishop's grave in Litoměřice, where a golden ring and other relics were stolen. If found guilty of desecrating human remains, vandalism and theft, the two suspects would face up to 3 years in prison.
That was Jan Richter with a truly shocking report about an appalling case of crime that is currently being investigated. And now, in today's panorama, we will learn all about a very well-known Czech specialty, olomoucké tvarůžky. Daniela Lazarová has this report.
It is the country's most smelly specialty, olomoucké tvarůžky, dubbed by foreign visitors as the stinky cheese of Olomouc. It is not something you can easily overlook. Its pungent smell hits you the minute you open the fridge and will render you a social outcast several hours after consuming it. However, many consider it to be one of the country's biggest delicacies, and in 2008, the Czech Republic fought and won a war with Germany and Austria over a protected geographical status trademark. The soft, gummy yellow cheeses, which are sold in packs of five to be consumed with beer or wine, date back to the 15th century, when they were produced by hand from sour cottage cheese and salt. By the second half of the 18th century, they were so popular that Emperor Leopold II insisted they be served at his wedding feast, and in 1872 they are reported to have won second and third prize at the very first fair of dairy products in Vienna. Maria Bekařová, who is a guide at the Olomouc Stinky Cheese Museum, explains that the name is somewhat misleading. The pungent cheese is actually made in the small town of Loštice, which is just a stone's throw from Olomouc.
That's because the cheese was always taken to Olomouc to be sold at open-air markets and later in stone shops. Olomouc was a bigger town, better known, and since it was sold there, it became known as Olomouc cheese. Today, its fame has traveled far. Our cheese museum has around 4,000 visitors annually, including foreign visitors. We have had visitors from all around Europe, but also Japan, China, Chile, and Australia, and more recently we have had groups of students from the United States.
The AW Loštice company, which makes the delicacy to this day, is still based in the small town of Loštice, from where vans set out daily to deliver the unique product to outlets around the country. Maria Bekařová again.
První zmínky vlastně o výrobě tvarůžku byly v roce 1876.
According to the first written records, large-scale production of this delicacy started back in 1876 when Josef Wessels opened the first Olmutz cheese company in Loskice. The company stayed in family hands and was later run by his son, Alois Wessels. By the way, the company name is still Alois Wessels, though now it uses the abbreviation A.W. After the fall of communism, descendants of the former owners got the company back in the restitution process and now produce 2,000 tons of Olomouc cheeses annually.
In July of 2010, the EU finally granted Olomoucké tvarůžky protected geographical indication status, meaning that the only cheese that can be sold under that name is that made in the little town of Loštice, according to the original recipe. Loštice and Olomouc toasted the victory together. The famous smelly cheese helped put both towns on the map, and for visitors who come after closing time, there are even vending machines offering the local specialty. The usual way to eat tvarůžky is with bread and butter and onions, and wash them down with a pint of good beer or a glass of wine. Many people like to fry them, fried cheese being a popular Czech dish, and claim that the procedure significantly reduces the smell, though I would still not recommend them to the faint-hearted. They're also sold melted in a potato pancake, but the real feinschmecker, the borrowed Czech expression for gourmet, eats them just as they are, in order to fully savour the taste and inimitable pungent smell. Still, it was only a matter of time for some entrepreneur to present them in a different coating, so to speak, and the first to latch on to the opportunity was a family sweet shop looking for ways to attract new customers at a time of economic downturn. Now, sweet shops, that is something that Czechs and Austrians have in common. The tradition of going to the sweet shop for a mouth-watering piece of cake, freshly made eclairs or cream-covered rakvičky, bearing the morbid name of coffins with a cup of tea or coffee, is something dating back to the days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. To this day, Czech sweet shops have wonderful pastries, but the competition is strong and owners need to offer something extra, especially when many Czechs are now looking to save money. The Poštulkové family runs a sweet shop in Loštice, located just a few houses away from the company that makes the famous Olomoucké tvarůžky. So it didn't take them long to hit on the idea of giving the local specialty pride of place on their menu. Zdenka Poštulková, who opened the sweet shop with her husband and two daughters, says the smelly cheese has always been a staple in their household, and the whole family helped to create the new recipes.
In order to bring in tourists, we had to offer something original. So we came up with this somewhat unusual combination, something that resembles sweet pastries, but tastes refreshingly different and can be consumed with a glass of wine. People meet here to chat, and some of them may not be in the mood for something sweet. Also, the recipes that we have put together are an acceptable way of tasting tvarůžky without being bowled over. They just smack of the typical taste because we put a bit of the cheese into a sour cream whip or blend it with ham, nuts, gingerbread, or plum marmalade. We have 10 different kinds of pastries, and we try to keep the taste clean and simple.
The different recipes are something that emerged over time. When Zdenka Poštulková would need to whip up a quick meal for the family, she often combined leftovers and whatever the family greeted with enthusiasm stayed on the menu. She says that over the years, she tried a wide variety of combinations with a popular tvarůžky. 3 years ago, she first went public with them and has since won half a dozen competitions. So how well are the tvarůžky pastries, reminiscent of quiches, selling? Zdenka Poštulková says they're a hit with the locals, but that, like so many unusual specialties, they are an acquired taste.
Řekla bych, že 99% lidí to chutná, chutná to i lidem.
I would say that 99% of Czechs who try them approve. Even people who do not like tvarůžky because of their pungent smell say that in our whipped cream they taste very good. Of course, with foreigners, it's different. They are more wary and more reserved when it comes to trying tvarůžky because the smell puts them off. But we intend to stick with this specialty, which has become something of a flagship now. We believe that tvarůžky have a future, and we sell our products at farmers markets as well. One of our daughters now lives in Brussels, and so she's taking the PR beyond Czech borders. But it's a long road and not an easy one.
Na dlouhou trať je to velice těžký.
Zdenka Poškulková was speaking to Daniela Lazarová about olomoucké tvarůžky in this edition of Panorama. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech. My name is Pavla Horáková and today I'm joined in the studio by Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
We are back with the alphabet and the letter J. J in our series stands for things related to the subject of jobs. Job is such a nice and short word in English. In Czech you have to twist your tongue a bit if you want to say the word
zaměstnání.
The literal meaning of the word is something that keeps you busy. Another related word is
zaměstnanec,
meaning employee. Even longer is the word
zaměstnavatel,
that is an employer. To make their lives easier, Czechs often simply use the word
práce
or work when they mean job. So, for example, job market is translated as
trh práce.
One of the ways to find a job is to browse through the papers and look for the right job advertisement.
Inzerát.
If you find one, you send your CV or
životopis
to the company and wait for them to invite you to an interview.
Pohovor.
Then, if you are lucky, you can sign your contract.
Pracovní smlouva.
And you are no longer
nezaměstnaný
or unemployed. A word often mentioned by politicians and economists is
nezaměstnanost
or unemployment. Just for your interest, in June, the unemployment rate in the Czech Republic rose to 8.7%. In the old days of communism, work was compulsory. The employer had to put a stamp in your ID card, and if you did not have one there, you were in for trouble if the police asked you to show them your ID. If you did not have a job, you were considered a parasite or
příživník
and could be sent to jail. But back to the word
nezaměstnaný
or unemployed. In shops or public places, you often come across the sign
nezaměstnaným vstup zakázán
written on doors. Although the wording suggests that jobless people are forbidden to enter, the sign simply means staff only. So that's all for today, I'm afraid, but you can join us next time for another edition of the ABC of Czech. Until then, it's goodbye.
Naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC was wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs and others are available at our internet address radio.cz. If you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And as always, everything you've heard on the program can also be found at radio.cz. There you can also discover a huge archive of reports and features, both in text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.